Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Cowboys play the Niners on Sunday. Yeah, it's, by the way, you know what's funny? It's getting real, right? Like, here come the footsteps. We're in Thursday right now. We got a couple days. We're playing NFL playoff football. Cowboys, Niners, Sunday. Nate Newton is going to join us tomorrow, 9:30, to talk about this game. So here is Jerry Jones, Keyshawn Johnson. That's the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, in case you need to know.
General manager
also.
Slash owner. President.
Yep. Slash president. Coach. He has his name on the checks,
president.
As you know.
And president,
yes. 105.3 The Fan. What's a successful season, Jerry?
How do you define success once you make the play? Is it title or bust for you?
Oh, unquestionably. There's no in between. A lot of that has got to do with availability of your players at that time. We're in good shape. We're in real good shape right now. And so, we should be excited and be planning on it.
Well, no in between, but there's no consequence. The problem with Dallas is if they don't win it all, Key, there's no consequence, really. They're not going to get rid of Mike McCarthy after 2 years, are they? They just gave Dak Prescott the money. Jerry ain't going to fire the GM himself. So what's the consequence?
Well,
it's consequenceless boom or bust. Like, you know.
Yeah, the consequence is boom or bust. Jerry's right. When you have players that are available to you, your team is better, especially the Cowboys, because they got players. They have guys. He wants to win another Super Bowl, another championship. That's why he built this team the way that they did. That's why they went out 2 years ago and acquired Amari Cooper for a first-round pick and gave him a huge, huge contract to increase their third-down percentage and performance, which that happened. Then they draft CeeDee Lamb. They pay Zeke Elliott. They take care of business on the offensive line. They draft Micah Parsons. They take care of DeMarcus Lawrence. They take care of Gregory. They draft Diggs. They put a team together to make a run at a Super Bowl. The only difference is they didn't have a Super Bowl coach. And Mike McCarthy, they have a Super Bowl coach now. They went out and got a guy after he was let go of in Green Bay because his time ran out. And now Jerry is saying, we got everything. We got to win. This is what I put this together for. The clock is a ticking on him. He doesn't have much time to sit around and go through mediocrity every single season. And now they're finally there, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, I don't understand why media is so programmed to think that because a team has championship or bust aspirations, that there have to be consequences if they don't fulfill those aspirations, right? I'm sitting here looking at the core of this team being something that we could see for the next five years, right? So it gives them shots to win championships. Of course he wants to win a championship this year. But Dak just got the bag. A lot of the pieces are there. That's aspirations, fine. But if they get knocked out early, he's not going to make changes.
You're going
to run it back.
Let me address what you just said, Jay.
Because Jerry of the Cowboys. Jones, I get all
Jerry
the history
Jones
of it.
Bought the Cowboys. He made his fortune and bought the Cowboys. And that was his shiny new toy at first. And he ushered in the era of the salary cap. He spearheaded that. And on that day, was like, by the way, we're signing Deion Sanders. Everyone's like, what? How are you doing that? Well, you can prorate the bonus, and so we're still under the cap. He figured it all out before anyone else and put together a super team. But after that one little trick, everyone caught on. He has not been able to win a Super Bowl. It's 25 years. Now, the reason that's significant is this. It's his team. He wants to do it my way, like the Sinatra song, right? He's going to win a Super Bowl, and most importantly, he is going to win the Super Bowl his way. He's not going to compromise and give in and all that kind of stuff. But like he said, the clock is ticking. He ain't getting any younger. He's an old man. Is there a point where he's looking at his own mortality? We all are, but he's closer to it than most. Is he going to get to a point where that pressure to live to see another Cowboys Super Bowl championship is so much that he's willing to compromise his way, that he's willing to get out of the way, that he's willing to hire a Bill Parcells type, you know, in this modern NFL, that he would give power to a guy who wants it and kind of get out of the way? Because I'll tell you this, if they don't win this year, and Mike McCarthy especially screws up this clock management at the end of the game, Jay, if McCarthy doesn't get fired, what are we talking about here?
So you're saying the consequences for Jerry Jones to demote himself and bring in somebody.
Why would you demote yourself? What did he do that was wrong? What has he done that was wrong?
He has not hired the right coach in a long time.
They just dominated the NFC East. They win another three games if Greg Zuerlein. Mm-hmm. They win another three games if Greg Zuerlein don't miss three. Greg Zuerlein cost the Cowboys three games.
If was a fifth.
Yeah, but you can't do that, though, Max. I know you got your bug up your you-know-what because you're a giant guy.
I don't know what. What are you referring
to? Cowboys.
Yes.
Your ass. Is that what you want me to
say? No, you can't say that. You mean the donkey, obviously. Yes, go ahead.
A situation where Jerry and Steven and Jerry Jr. and Will Clay have put a team together that is going to compete for a Super Bowl title. And if they for somehow – don't get it, it is a major disappointment and letdown because they built the team. But Mike McCarthy's not going to get fired. They're not going to do that.
I mean, like, look.
Because then what do you do? Who are you going to get? You're going to put yourself behind the eight ball because you're going to go out there and you're going to hire who?
Well, here's the way around it. Win some playoff games. I mean, they've only won four. But the reason I'm saying this is because at a certain point, Key, I'm not trying to hear excuses. 25 years.
But this might be their best team since the triplets.
Yeah, and if the coach is the thing that slows it up, and we shall see, you don't think it will be an issue, but others do. And the great thing about sports is eventually there's a truth to the matter. We're going to see it, you know? And at a certain point, four playoff wins in 25 years, you need four in the same season just to win a Super Bowl. Unless you got the bye, and they ain't got the bye. Kimberly A. Martin, ESPN NFL reporter on Get Up yesterday, talked about the pressure and what would happen? What would it mean if the Cowboys are one and done?
Mike McCarthy just needs one game. One game. If he could get one game, if he can get past the 49ers, I think he's good. But if they were to be one and done with this roster, after how many times we've been talking about Mike McCarthy this season, and does he put his team in the best situation? Does he understand clock management? Is he going to be the liability for this roster? It's going to be bad in Dallas.
See, that's Kimberly's opinion, not her reporting. However, when a very good reporter, and Kimberly is one, has an opinion, it's a very informed opinion, Key. She thinks it's going to be a problem if they don't win a playoff game.
Well, I think her opinion, she knows she's dialed in. Her opinion means something. But at the same time, you got to look at everything, right? Jerry Jones certainly is not going to be happy. Dallas Cowboy fans aren't going to be happy. The players aren't going to be happy. But it won't fall on Mike McCarthy right now. If we're talking in his third year, we're talking in his fourth year, yeah.
Please entertain this scenario because you've bristled whenever we brought it up. But Jay's brought it up. I brought it up. Others have. What if the game against the Niners comes down to the end, and because of poor clock management, you can point to a lot of other factors, but in the end, it does wind up costing them. Would that mean anything?
No, because I don't think it. First of all, I don't think that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I don't think in this situation, playoff performance matters. And when I say playoff performance, I mean about coach. Now you got to be extra detailed, and you got to be paying even more attention to what's going on. So I don't think that he's going to cost them anything in the playoffs. Why people think that? Because he made whatever people consider mistakes in the regular season in games that they won.
A lot of pressure on both Dak and McCarthy. Dak just got the bag, though. And to our eyeballs, we all think, we look at Dak, go, he's good. We know, like, he ain't part of the problem. That's, I think, the consensus. So there's pressure on him. But we just saw with Jason Garrett, easier to get rid of the coach when you believe in the quarterback, and also at this point, even your defense, than it is to blame the quarterback.
I don't, for a team that's had nine coaches in 60 years of his existence as a team. I don't see them just being like, all right, Mike McCarthy, after a couple of years, like, we're done with you. Like, that's not what history would tell you about this franchise.
You know what time it is, guys? It's Thursday, 9:10 a.m.
In the morning.
Happy
time
hour.
Time for no. Joe, well, in a way. Joe Fortenbaugh is here. Does that make you happy?
Yeah, it's happy
then
hour.
Then it's happy
Joe.
Hour, indeed. Joe Fortenbaugh. What's up, Joe?
Gentlemen, how you doing today? Happy New Year. Always
happy
great
New
to
Year.
Get that out of the way in the happy beginning New of these January
Joe.
Conversations.
I can't.
Hey, Evan, are we going to go over where everyone is at first? Or you want to go straight to the games? Okay. Las Vegas at Cincinnati, Joe? Cincinnati is a 5.5-point favorite at home. The over and under is 49. Where are you with this?
All right, so Cincinnati opened as a 6.5-point favorite for this game, but it's been Raider money early in the week, knocking it all the way down to as low as 5, which is what we've seen. Big difference for the Raiders on offense when it comes to whether or not they have tight end Darren Waller on the field. And we saw that against the Chargers in Sunday Night Football. With Waller this season, the Raiders are averaging about 24 points per game. Without Waller, they're averaging just 18 points per game. That's a pretty significant drop. Cincinnati's given up a lot of points at home this season, but they can score, and they've got about 2 weeks of rest for this game. The total's interesting. The number's coming down. I lean to the over in that spot. For the side, I don't have much here. I wonder when that Raider magic's going to run out, but the market is moving towards the Raiders right now.
When you look at the Raiders in this situation, that game didn't get out of hand in Las Vegas the last time they saw each other in the regular season. Into the second half, the Raiders were in it. Waller was playing well. If they get him back in this game, it'll be the similar same matchup problems that they created in Las Vegas. I think that the Raiders going on the road, coming out of warm weather in a dome into a chilly conditions in Cincinnati could give the Bengals some problems. But this is like one of those Bengal teams, young teams, that can shock the nation for the first playoff try. I think they beat the Raiders, but they lose in the second round.
All right, next up, New England at Buffalo. Buffalo 4-point favorite. Joe, over under 44.
Bills opened as a 4.5-point favorite. It's come down to 4, so we've seen a little bit of New England money here. This is a big boy game, and I'm wondering if Mac Jones is going to be able to step up in the big spot. Down the line, I have all the confidence in the world, but the rookie has not been very good on the road this season. When playing at home, 16 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Very healthy. When playing on the road, 6 TDs, 6 interceptions. Not getting it done. And we saw that in Miami last week. He was just checking down after checking down after checking down. There were no shots down the field in that game. And they dug a big hole early because of that pick 6. 2 games against the Bills this season, Jones is completing just 45% of his passes, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Big game at Foxborough a few weeks back. Josh Allen looked fantastic and got the job done in a win over New England. The game at the Ralph on Monday night earlier in the season, awful conditions with the wind. If we don't have that, we have to throw that game out the window. It's kind of an outlier situation. I lean to Buffalo, but I haven't made a play on the side yet. The total's intriguing. It went from 43.5 up to 44. I think this game's a little bit more lower scoring, in my opinion.
You know, the interesting thing about this game is Mac Jones will be asked to do a little bit more if they fall behind against Buffalo. But what I would do is caution everyone to believe that Bill Belichick is going to run it back the same way that he did the last time they played in Buffalo in hostile weather conditions. Although you had wind and you had snow, this will just be frigid cold under temperatures of -0. And then the wind chill factor certainly will take that down even further. Josh Allen has struggled throwing in the cold. His QBR is one of the worst in the National Football League, if not the worst. With that all being said, the home team should win this game because I don't think that New England will have enough out of Mac Jones.
Philadelphia at Tampa Bay. This is the second largest spread of the first round. Tampa Bay favored by 8.5. The over-under is 46, Joe.
Not a lot of movement on the side. Tampa opened as high as -9. It's down to 8, but that depends on the sports book you look at. A little bit of action on the under from 48.5 down to 46.5. I mean, what do we make of Philadelphia, right? I know they're a 9-win team. They beat one team with a winning record this season, one, and that was the New Orleans Saints, who didn't even make the playoffs. So they have a grand total of 0 wins against playoff teams. They also love to run the football. That's the strength of the offense. That's what sets everything up for Jalen Hurts. I don't know how successful they're going to be on the ground in this game against a Tampa Bay defense that ranks top 3 in run defense. If I'm Tampa's D, I'm loading the box and daring Jalen Hurts to beat me. With guys like Jalen Reagor out there who have failed to make plays game after game, especially that Giant game if you go back a few weeks ago, you got to wonder if they're going to be able to step up to the challenge of playing Tom Brady in Tampa. Now, I know Brady and the Bucs have had some injuries. Listen to how they've performed at home this season. Plus 129 point differential, which means they're outscoring their opponents by 14 points per game at Raymond James Stadium. If I'm doing anything here, I'm probably laying it with Tampa Bay.
When you look about it, Tampa Bay Buccaneers should win this game going away. Jalen Hurts is going to have to do magical things for the Philadelphia Eagles to keep up. Yes, you mentioned Jalen Reagor. Hasn't given the Philadelphia Eagles much in the offensive side of the ball in the passing game. I do think, though, with some breaks, the Philadelphia Eagles could keep the game close, but Tom Brady is Tom Brady.
Okay, San Francisco at Dallas. Dallas, the three-point favorite, over under 51. A lot of points in this game.
Yeah, this could be the marquee attraction of the weekend. So we haven't seen any movement on the side. Open three, sitting three. I'm wondering if it gets to 3.5. I'll tell you right now, if it does get to 3.5 and it looks like it's going to trend that way before it gets to 2.5, I would be on the Niners in that situation. Total seen some action as well. Over money's been pouring in from 48.5. up to 51. Kyle Shanahan, keep in mind, was the offensive coordinator in Atlanta when Dan Quinn was the head coach. Dan Quinn is now the defensive coordinator in Dallas. So all the talk about the improved Dallas defense, which is justified, they've been very good this season under Quinn. Shanahan's going to know how to attack him. Now, you could also make the converse argument that Quinn's going to know how to go after Kyle Shanahan's offense. So leave that where it may in terms of who's the better strategist against the other guy. San Francisco on the road this season, 6-3, plus 35 point differential, wins at Philly, Cincinnati, and the Rams, all playoff teams. Shanahan versus McCarthy, I heard you guys talking about it before I came on. Say what you want about Mike McCarthy, his team's in the driver's seat this year, they look very good. But this, with a spread of three, small margins for error. And one of those timeout mistakes, one of those challenge mistakes, one of those clock mismanagement situations could be all that matters in swinging the difference on the point spread. So you're going to find me on San Francisco if it gets to 3.5.
It's boom or bust for the Dallas Cowboys. They certainly are trying to advance to the Super Bowl at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. They need everybody, all hands on deck. They certainly have to have great play out of the quarterback and receiver position. But on the defensive side of the ball, they can't get caught up looking in the backfield on fly sweeps, things of that nature, because what they will do is get caught peeking when they shouldn't be peeking and somebody rushing right up the gut. The thing that San Francisco wants to do is they want to control the line of scrimmage, and Michael Parsons, Gregory, along with DeMarcus Lawrence, can't allow that to happen if they want the Dallas Cowboys to make it to the next round. I think Dallas wins this football game.
Let's continue the playoff conversation. The Pittsburgh Steelers at Kansas City is the largest point spread. The second largest was Tampa and the Eagles, right? But this is 12.5 points. We've talked a lot about Ben Roethlisberger using that to try to keep the team loose. The over-under is 46.5, Joe. Where are you with this?
I don't know if I want to get involved on the side here. I mean, on one hand, I don't want to lay 13 in the playoffs against a pretty good defense in Pittsburgh, but there's very little chance you're going to find me backing Roethlisberger in this offense based on what I've seen throughout the course of the season. They don't take shots down the field. It's not a very vertical passing attack. Roethlisberger's averaging 6.2 yards per attempt this season, which is the second lowest of his 18-year career. Second lowest. The only season that was lower was 2019, but he only threw 62 passes because he got hurt and knocked out for the year. That was such a small sample, we have to throw that one out. So if you're Kansas City, that's a big edge for your defense if you don't have to defend the deep ball and you can kind of creep up, focus on the run, focus on the intermediate to short passing routes. Big for that defense because that's a defense that struggled. We saw them struggle at Denver last week. Total's been dropping a little bit, or total hasn't moved at all, which is intriguing. I'm not sure if we see it going over 46.5, but for the side, you're not going to see me get involved here. It's too many delay, and I don't want that many points with Ben and this offense that have been so stagnant at times this year.
Well, I think when you talk about the Kansas City Chiefs and you're looking at what they've been on the defensive side of the ball, they've been able to allow people to take advantage of that secondary. I don't necessarily know that Ben Roethlisberger and that receiving core has the ability to do the same things that the Chargers or the Cincinnati Bengals were able to do. But what I would say is when you look at Pittsburgh and you look at that defense, if they shorten that field for Ben Roethlisberger and create havoc and turnovers with T.J. Watt and a Bush coming back off injury and a Micah Fitzpatrick, the Steelers will have an opportunity in this game to keep it close. I don't think it'll be as nearly lopsided as the bettors think, but I still think Kansas City wins.
All right, guys, there you have it. It is time now for House Money. Joe won the regular season. That means an advantage as we head into the playoffs. So, Evan, explain this. What is the advantage? Because we're resetting, I thought. We're all getting money now.
Yep, you're all getting money, but Joe's going to start the playoffs with 50. Jay's going to have 40. Max, you'll have 30, and Key will have 20. That is in order based on how you guys finish the regular season. And just so everybody, if you're just joining us, during the regular season, Joe finished. Everyone started with 100. Joe finished with $115.20. Jay finished with $105.77. Max finished with $67.58. And Key finished with nothing. But, hey, everybody's back in it.
Obviously, Joe, we're showing who the experts are.
I had to take a big swing on the last game of the season because I was trying to win.
A few of my handicappers got injured, so I was left out in the cold.
This is the man, Keyshawn Johnson, Joe, who gave Jay three touchdowns in the national title game. He liked Alabama by three touchdowns plus.
I didn't realize they would be all hurt.
Still waiting three for my touchdowns. $500, Joe, that I'm owed, you know?
I'm sure it's in the mail. Check's in the mail.
I hope so. He paid me last time he lost a bet. Just hope he comes through this time.
All right, so we're resetting.
Let's move it along. You don't have to keep reminding everybody.
Well, I will until
bet.
I get the money.
We're resetting. That's the main thing. Key's got $20 to play with. You going to take a wild swing, or how are you going
to
do with that?
No, I got $20 to play with. I'm gonna play a very close to the vest. I'm going to go with the Cowboys in the -3 over the 49ers, and I'm going to lay $4 down.
$4, huh?
Yeah, I don't have
Hold
20.
On, we're not starting to bet. Are we betting right now,
let
Evan?
Key go. This way, Joe is not handicapped because, see, Joe has gone first the entire year. So let Key go, then Max, you go, then I will go, and then let Joe go.
And then one more. I got a little more cheese in the pocket. I'm going to go with the Rams. I'm going to take the Rams in a -4 against the Cardinals on a Monday night, and I'm going to spend another $3 on that one, $7 total. I'm not touching anybody else. I'm saving mine.
Mm.
Go ahead, Max.
You want me to go next,
yes.
Huh?
We'll go in reverse order.
All right. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to take the Cardinals. Since the Rams are giving them the points, I think the Cardinals will beat the spread.
Okay.
And I'm going to put, what I got, $30, right, Evan? I'm going to put $5 on that one. And then I'm going to take the Niners over the Cowboys, another $5. I'm going to take them to beat the Cowboys.
Cool. I'm going to take the Cowboys to cover -3. I'll take $10 on that. I will take the Rams to cover over the Cardinals. I'll take $5 on that. And then I'm actually going to take I'll take the Bills to cover. I'll take another $5 on that.
All right, so here's what we're going to do on this end. Three wagers, all are $3.30 to win $3, which means we're still putting like 20% of the bankroll in play here, but so be it. All right, $3.30 to win $3. Cincinnati and the Raiders going over 48.5 points. Bengals games at home this season have been absolute shootouts. Look at the Kansas City game. Look at the Chargers game. Look at the San Francisco game. Defense is average, and with Waller on the field, the Raiders should be able to put up some points. Cincinnati top 7 in scoring and yards per play. Joe Burrow getting 2 weeks to get ready for this game. I like a lot of points in that one. I'm going over 48.5. Pittsburgh and Kansas City, I'm going to go under 46.5 points. This number is a bit crazy to me because in week 16, when they got together, the total closed at 44.5. So it was 2 points less. Now the game went over, but only because of a garbage touchdown late. It was a dead shot under the whole way. And now it's coming out 2 points higher, which I don't understand because I don't trust the Pittsburgh offense at all. I think there's value there. I'll go under 46.5 with the Steelers and the Chiefs. And then the final play, first half wager, Eagles, Buccaneers under 23 points in the first half. So all are $3.30 to win $3. Philadelphia wants to run the ball. They're not going to be able to run it against Tampa Bay's top 3 run defense, but that's not going to be a divide that really shows itself until the second half when Philly gets down and has to throw the ball. So I think early in the first half, you have a grind between these two teams. Philly can play some defense as well and get some stops. Under 23 points in the first half, Bucks, Eagles.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Joe, as always.
All right, Joe. Good luck.
Gentlemen, it's always a pleasure. Best of luck. I'll catch you next week.
The path for Kyrie to help the Nets full time. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So, guys, you know, with the Nets here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio Series, XM Channel 80, your smart speaker, download the podcast. It really ain't that hard with the Nets. Guys, when the three play, when James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant all play, they are extremely hard to beat. Even well-constructed teams. And when I look at well-constructed teams, Jay, the Bulls reminded me in the preseason this year of the Suns last year in the sense that the pieces they added seemed to be the right kinds of pieces, seemed to fit together. You could see it like a puzzle. Ooh, that fits nicely. And it worked out nicely. But when you look at a team's best player and another team's third best player is better than their best player, and that's for a lot of teams in the NBA. It's just hard to beat them. It's hard to beat them.
Well, the reality last night is Kyrie didn't have a great game, right? KD and James Harden went off. But here's why having Kyrie on the floor is just a huge advantage for the Nets.
Well,
they don't even have Joe Harris on the floor, by the way. Think about that combination. When Joe, you think about floor spacing, please. But when Kyrie's on the floor, let's say KD's bringing the ball down the left side of the court, and there's a ball screen that comes from the right side, and Kyrie's in the right corner. If you're guarding him, you can't leave him to help on the ball screen on KD. You have to stay home because he warrants that as a shooter and as a playmaker, as a scorer. So it allows so much more room for the defense to be open. And look, him not even having a good game just opens the floor for James and the KD to do what they did last night anyway.
Nick Friedel, ESPN's NBA reporter, is joining us right now. Good morning, Nick.
What up, Nick?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Doing good, brother.
Doing good now that you're here. Nick, how did the Nets look different to you last night?
That was an awakening. And you guys hit on it, but damn, I'm sitting in the UC last night, and I've seen a lot of big games there, and that place was as revved up as they were in the old days with Derek and Joe Team and Tibbs. And in the second half, guys, that place was silent. And it was a reminder, just like it was for the Bulls in those Miami days, that you can have a really good team. You can have a team that has solid defensive principles and can have some really strong players like DeRozan and LaVine. But that team doesn't have KD, who is one of one. That team doesn't have Harden. And when James is locked in the way he was last night, that's the player that we've seen through the years in Houston. And Jay, you just mentioned it. Kyrie didn't even play that well, and the spacing that his presence allowed for everybody else was still unbelievable. So that was a reminder for the Nets to the rest of the league that said, we're here, we're not going anywhere, and when our three main guys are on the floor, we can be that dominant. And you just touched on it. What people are forgetting is not only Joe Harris, but Claxton didn't play. Mm-hmm. LaMarcus Aldridge, who will certainly get some run in the playoffs, he didn't play. So they were missing three of their rotation guys on top of the fact that Kyrie was playing with Harden and KD for just the second time all year. So everything in that second half for Brooklyn was a reminder of, yep, we still got it.
You know, Nick, last year watching KD play, he reminded the world of how special, unique, and how much of an anomaly he really is on the court, even in that series against the Brooklyn Nets, right? Without James Harden pretty much limping up and down the court, they had a legitimate chance to win that. At this stage of his career, how impressed are you at what KD is doing coming off that Achilles injury a couple years ago?
The guy is unbelievable. And Jay, I had a chance to watch it day to day a few years back, that last year with the Warriors. And there were a lot of people around the league that weren't sure after that Achilles injury if Kevin could come back at the same level. And not only has he come back at the same level, when you watch him, to me, he's playing the best he's ever played. I mean, offensively, when you're 7 feet tall and you can run down the floor and shoot it over anybody, that's an advantage that so few guys have had in the history of the league. But he's combining that with being able to make the passes that he's making within the offense. He's combining that with being a much better defensive player than he's ever gotten the credit for. So at this stage, at 33 years old, it's all come together for him to a point where you're watching him night to night now going, this guy is the most talented player in the game. And when you have Kevin Durant playing at that level, even on a team that has shown flaws, and certainly that this was the Nets' best night of the year, but it's not like they're going to play like this every single time. But when you have Kevin, it's the ultimate eraser of any other issues that are going on the floor. So I know, having been around him through the years, how much joy he's taking right now after that type of performance in knowing that they can still hit that championship level when all three guys are out there. But he is that kind of special talent, and it's just a reminder for everybody else that when he is playing like this, they have as good a chance as anybody in the league to make it happen for a title.
Nick, the Nets are on a mission to get to the NBA final, not just get there, but also win it. Will we see the fines paid by the Nets so Kyrie could ultimately play full time come playoff time?
Key, it hasn't come up yet to this point, but the key for the Nets is, and you can hear it in what Kyrie has said publicly, even over the last week since he's come back, there's a real hope, and I know Woj mentioned this as well, that at some point between now and April and going into the playoffs, that whether it's the city of New York, whether it's the league and the Players Association putting some pressure on internally, talking to the mayor's office, there is a hope, an optimism that there will be some way for Kyrie to play in home games. So specific to the fines, that hasn't been broached yet as far as something that they're looking at down the line. They're still operating for the time being as if Kyrie will play on the road, and they'll find their way over the next couple months at home at Barclays. But there is no question that the Nets are of the belief, and certainly Kyrie is of the belief, that between now and when the playoffs start, he'll be out there, and he'll be out there for every game instead of this weird half-and-half deal that they've got at the moment.
That's Nick Friedell, ladies and gentlemen, on the Goodyear Hotline. Thank you, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Always, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, bud.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Speaking of the city of New York, one change that needs to be made on the other side of the river.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Well, that's not the Giants. Competitive more often than not, unfortunately. It hasn't been recently. My beloved New York football Giants, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, your smart speakers. Download the podcast. Catch the whole thing. So, John Mara, Giants owner, yesterday, that's Wednesday, at a press conference, was asked about why the fans should trust him. And this was his response.
Well, I haven't given him any reason to believe that. It's up to me to make the right choices, up to Steve and I to make the right choices going forward to earn back their trust. And that is not going to be an overnight process. That's going to take some time, but it starts with getting the general manager pick done correctly and then with hiring the right head coach. Now, that's going to be a process that we're going to have to earn their trust again. And as I said, that's not going to happen overnight.
Got to get the GM pick, right? That's the main thing. If the GM comes first, someone said they called it the order of operations yesterday. I'm trying to remember who it was.
But they don't have to come. The GM doesn't have to come first.
It was Jay. Yes. It was
the
here.
GM doesn't have to come first. They come together. And that's
well, not according to John Mara.
But that's kind of the trend in the NFL right now, is packaging guys together. You know, it's like you and I, Max, we're going to go take over the Giants. I know I'm bringing you in. You may introduce me first as the general manager.
But we came as a package deal.
But we came as a package deal.
Yeah.
Because I know that I've been communicating with you about everything offline. And now all of a sudden, one day it's me, 2 days later it's you. But we came together.
Mm-hmm. I have no problem with what Mara said. Like, New York wants to like Mara. But, the Giants have won Super Bowls. The Mara family is distinguished. And it's just not like a Jim Dolan thing with the Knicks where there's all this animosity toward them. But – and for good reason, by the way. But
I was going to say, Max, real quick, he showed contrition, though, yesterday. I
mean,
he did say, look, we own this. Like, and we know we have to work in order to earn back the trust of our fan base. Like, I respect that at the end of the day.
No, why? Because he internalized it. Like, you can hear the end. You could ask him any question about it because he's thinking the right way. Hey, why should fans trust you? Well, they shouldn't right now. And it's not going to be overnight. I got to earn back the trust. But here's where it goes a little bit off the rails for me. Listen to what he says about the new GM and everything and who's going to lead that search. Listen.
He will lead the search for a head coach, but those decisions always are subject to final approval by ownership. You know, in terms of Daniel or Saquon or anyone else you want to ask me, that's going to be between the general manager and the head coach.
So to be clear, he refers to the GM. He, the GM,
yes,
will lead the search for the head coach.
Yes.
Now, in terms of what happens with Daniel or Barkley or Saquon, that has to do with the head coach and the GM. That has nothing to do with me. But in terms of who leads the search for the GM,
yes,
see, Key, to me is where he gets slick with it, okay? On the one hand, signing off on that dude, of course. John Mara's co-owner and CEO, of course you sign off. But the team president is actively involved in the search. And the last time he got it so spectacularly wrong that I don't trust him. He's right. I want him to hire a good team president.
But this is why he said that they got it wrong and they got to get it right. He said him and Steve Tisch have got to hire the right general manager. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. They've identified that they've certainly screwed it up with Dave Gettleman. He identified that. He told you that. Now he's telling you, I got to find the right guy. I'm going to make it right. But it's going to take time to build that trust with the fan base again. There's nothing wrong with that.
Keith, let me ask you this. If you were, let's say you and Max were part of a package deal and you were the GM and Max was the coach. Coming into the situation, because we made mention of this yesterday about Daniel Jones, Would Daniel Jones be your quarterback that you would try to stick with for another year, or would you be looking to move on from Daniel Jones?
I probably would look to bring another guy in to push and compete with Daniel Jones based on my evaluation from afar from him. One of the things that between now and the time free agency starts is I'm watching all type of tape and film, and I'm seeing what he is. My new staff is in place. We're looking and making a decision on whether or not he's the guy or we're going to look for another guy. We're not just going to cut bait from him. Because even if I needed to keep him on as a backup Marcus Mariota type with Ryan Tannehill for a year, I'll do that.
Oh, he'd be a hell of a backup. Hell of a backup. But, you know.
But if I can find me a guy.
Is that through the draft? Or are you looking at free agency?
There's nothing in the draft.
By the way, you know how you do this right now? There's nothing in the draft, right? No, and let's say you can't get Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. The Giants have what, the 5th and the 7th?
Mm-hmm.
This is a deep offensive line draft. Don't miss. Go get two studs in the first round on the O-line. I'll tell you why. I'm just my second round pick, I'll go grab, if there's a plus starter, I'll go grab another guy on the O-line because of this. You want a quarterback? Have a gangster offensive line. You want to develop a young quarterback? Gangster offensive line. They're not on the precipice of about to turn the whole thing around. So you might as well get the architecture right.
But the lineman that I have may be better with the scheme that we're going to run opposed to what they was running before.
I'm not interested in better. I'm interested in having the best offensive line
They may turn out to be the best offensive line in the game.
I guarantee you they won't as
good. Will Hernandez didn't forget how to play football overnight.
Actually, he did. No, not overnight, over several years. He forgot how to play football. That's what's weird.
You got to see what you have when you take over a team. You can't just come in from afar and then blow everything up. You gotta take your time. You gotta look at the film. You gotta sit down. You gotta find out why is this player X this way.
Oh, and you're so mature. You're so prudent and mature.
Yeah,
this is New York City we're talking about.
And that's part of the problem. It's New York City. Relax and slow down.
No relaxing. City that never sleeps.
You talk about your Lakers.
No, there's no relaxing.
Yeah, we're good.
You're not. You just say you're not good.
I'm not panicking yet.
What?
We're okay. Let's see what happens.
What? Well, I could already tell you what's going to happen with the Giants if they don't find the right guy. There's some kid. You know, last time the Giants won the Super Bowl, it's 10 years. Not that long, right?
You can get
kid who was like 3 years old, whose family's crazy Giants fans, right? Some kid somewhere. He doesn't remember that. Now he's 13. All he knows is the Giants have stunk his whole life. And if you get this wrong, they'll stink straight through his high school.
Georgia didn't win it since 1980.
I'm not okay. Just don't
10
tell
years
me.
Is fine.
No, don't tell me it's okay and compare it to some.
I'm Max Kellerman. Don't
failure?
Tell me anything.
Don't speak to me.
That's right. Don't speak at all. All right.
Handsome
we're
guy
back
and
tomorrow.
Just remember
Keyshawn, we're back Jay Will, and Max.
And Greeny is next. Max Kellerman.
This there just it is. In. This is KJM, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.